Jim, there you go.
Yeah, I believe we'll be able to handle it. I mean, I think we don't know how the numbers are going to space out, how many calls we're going to get. I'd say right now we're able to handle it. If it gets overwhelming, then I will notify Lisa and we'll ask for the appropriate help. But right now, I think we can handle it. I believe we can.
Thank you, Chief Radke.
So, Mr. Mayor, with that, unless there are questions from the Assembly about anything that either myself or Captain Spray have gone over, I'd like to turn it back to you.
Thank you, Lisa. I think at this time, the process, I would like to continue following the process that I laid out, and that is to actually transition over to persons to be heard. And then I'm going to give the Assembly all lots of time for questions and follow-up. And I know that we also have Dr. Prasunk on the line for any medical questions that might come up or else search-related questions. So we'll kind of expand it at that. But we're going to transition over, Kim, to persons to be heard. I have specifically requested that persons to be heard is placed in the order as Kim received them. So this is exactly the order that we got the requests in. There was numerous letters sent in, and the person was contacted and asked if they wanted to speak to the directly to the Assembly or just have this go out to the Assembly and go into the record. And if they said no, that's can just go into the record, that's where your letter will be, is put into the record. And we've been receiving the letters as we go along. The Assembly's been all getting them. So at this point, Kim, I'm going to turn it over to you to introduce our first person to be heard.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The first person.
Oh, sorry, Kim, I'm sorry. I apologize. One other thing. I apologize. Normally, I say 3 minutes, and I try to be as generous as I can with those 3 minutes. And I typically give people 30 seconds to wrap up after the 3 minutes. Tonight, I'm going to allow folks to speak as long as I feel that they're still moving forward in their point. If I think you're rehashing the point, I'm going to ask you to wrap it up. But if you go 3.5 minutes or you broach into 4 minutes, I'm going to indulge that and allow you to make your point. I want to make sure that everyone who has something to say has adequate time to say it. And a final reminder, please remember to keep your comments civil and discuss the issues and not the people surrounding the issues. So, Kim, this time, seriously, over to you.
Okay. First person to be heard is Penny Allen.
Hey there.
Hi there.
All right, I'm just going to cut right to it. So thank you for letting me be heard tonight. Regarding the potential mask mandate, there's a lot of frustration from both sides of the community on the subject. And I hate to say both sides because we should all be trying to work together on this. However, I think there's some changes that need to happen to make that possible. I feel like people are once again frustrated. The council is bringing this up when our local risk level is very low. And it has been for quite some time. So if you're considering mandating masks when their risk level is low, when do you pull it off? When it's zero or when we have a vaccine? But we all know the vaccine isn't going to be readily available anytime soon. And how many of you guys are going to be willing to take a brand new vaccine? I feel like a broken record saying that this is something that's here to stay and will always be around and you'll never get rid of it. Cases will come and go and wrangle, and I realize the case numbers are going up around the state, which correspond to the high number of testing that we do at over 600,000 tests completed. And Dr. Zink herself said Alaska's early and aggressive testing strategy is also affecting our numbers. Alaska has the highest testing rate in the nation, and our nation is the third highest in the world. But still with rising case counts, our death rate is amongst the lowest in the nation. This is also in part due to better treatment, which no one seems to advertise. Then there's the issue with trust in those numbers. You've heard all the reasons for the lack of trust, so I'm not going to bring those up again. But I have a new question. When I was looking at the DHS website, it was constantly saying that there were 2 active cases in Wrangell, even though we hadn't had a known case reported in 7 weeks. So if they're reporting that for Wrangell, you know, what are they doing for other communities? And does Alaska really have as high a case count as they're reporting? So if somebody wants to jot that down that has an answer to that, that'd be great if you guys could answer it at the end of this letter. So then there's the question, should we still be in pandemic mode? when the survival rate amongst those who test positive for COVID in Alaska is 99.5%. So many people feel like politicians and other health officials, including the local politicians and officials, use these case numbers as a fear factor. So this creates high stress and division amongst the population. If you tell everybody case numbers are increasing, but you leave out the fact that our already high testing numbers keep going up, but our death rate is very low, then you're gonna needlessly scare people. And people want the whole truth, not just the case numbers. We wanna know hospitalization and death rates by age and comorbidities, and case counts by symptomatic and asymptomatic. The more information that you put out to the public, the better we can be to be prepared and the less fearful, and that's gonna reduce your stress level. Although we're a huge state and hundreds of miles away from Anchorage and Fairbanks, I know it's important to know how many hospital beds are available in the state, but it's also important to note the distance and seclusion we have from these cities because it helps us to figure out our local risk. So my point here is be aware of it, yes, but use all the factors and don't jump the gun. I know in your mind, some of you think you're helping by considering mandating masks right now, even if that means forcing it on those who don't think this is an appropriate time. You think you're putting another safety measure in place for the good of the general population, just as we have safety measures for things like fire safety in public buildings and health safety in restaurants. But the big difference here is that you're telling people they must cover their faces with cloth that causes some people headaches, discomfort, dehydration, skin issues, vision impairment, audio impairment, and it makes it hard to breathe. In addition, half the population is not convinced they help. People who want a mask will mask, and people who don't won't, no matter what you mandate. The only difference will be that you've put in place another reason for more tension between people and causing more stress and fighting in the community. The other side of this is, where does government control end and personal responsibility take over again? COVID has been around for about 8 or 9 months now. The general population is more than capable of figuring out when they should take extra precautions. Having the government mandate what we should and shouldn't do is basically telling us that we're all a bunch of toddlers who can't decipher risk levels, and people don't respond well to that. So I would like to offer some solutions, and I have, but rather than listing them out now, I'm just gonna keep going with the letter because the assembly has a copy of my letter. And I have a bunch of points that I think the city should consider, whether or not, you know, whatever you guys decide, I would really like the city to look at those bullet points and consider, you know, putting some of those into effect. In closing, if your goal is to scare people and pit us against each other, then mandate masks right now. But if your goal is to help the general public to better understand COVID and to protect themselves, then help us with the information and resources and let us be responsible for our own health. Remember to listen to what your community wants and don't get caught up listening into one side only. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ellen. Kim?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The next person
I apologize. Ms. Ellen, your question, if an assembly member wishes to follow up with that question when we do our points, they can. I just don't, we're not gonna stop and get into questions on persons to be heard. Thank you very much for
that. Right. Yeah, as long as that question's answered, and then I would like response also to those bullet points, because
That may not happen in this meeting, but
no, that's fine.
It will get to you. We'll ask Captain Spray to follow up.
Okay, great, thanks.
Go ahead, Kim.
Sure, Valerie Massey.
Ms. Massey, are you on the line?
I'm on the line. Can you hear me okay?
We've got you fine. Thank you. Go ahead.
Alrighty. Good evening. Thank you to the EOC and Assembly for considering a local mask mandate to help prevent any potential interruption to our local economy and activities. And that's a quote from the proposal itself. We need to keep operating safely to help our kids' economy and well-being. Wrangell has been one of the most fortunate towns in America throughout this year. We did not experience riots as numerous American cities have. We have not experienced wildfires as the rest of the West Coast has. We have not had many COVID cases. We have had free weekly testing, volunteers who have hand-sewn, reusable face masks and denied payment because they care that much for their community. I am not for a mask mandate, I am for mask usage. No one enjoys being told what to do, but at a certain point, we as adults should run out of chances to prove that we can take care of ourselves and others. Therefore, I believe we should enact a mask mandate. For it to be extended past December 31st, 2020, we would have another meeting like this. This period of time will give us a chance to see how our community, the state, and the country fare with cases during the holiday season, and then we can reevaluate. I have seen and heard a good number of people saying we don't even have any cases. Well, we do again, and why should we wait for an emergency or tragedy to take care of one another? Other small towns and large cities have suffered terrible losses. In my opinion, it is disrespectful of us to not learn our lessons because it is uncomfortable or an inconvenience. The issue of rights and freedoms has been raised over and over again, often by those who prioritize law and order. We believe in laws and that something should happen to those who break the laws. For example, if I want to drink, that's one thing. But I am not allowed to drink and drive because that infringes on someone else's right to live, to be safe on the road. Ideally, we wouldn't need a law to say not to do that because it's common sense, but here we are. A lot of other people bring up the perspective that only vulnerable populations should worry about their health and everyone else should be free to just get on with their lives. I am fortunate to be in my late 20s, healthy and free of underlying conditions. However, I won't always be this way, and I hope that when I am vulnerable, others will look out for me. I find it saddening and confusing that in a town of so many irreplaceable elders, there are attitudes like this one. This summer, I took on a second job as a part-time grocery delivery driver. This service is vital for keeping the community healthy. Vulnerable populations don't have to go to the store, and those who are quarantining for work or after a vacation or medical flights can eat. I myself wore a mask, but the issue is that my mask mostly protects other people. When others would refuse to wear a mask in the store, there wasn't anything that I could do. It's pretty much winter. Pro-mask or anti-mask, we all miss traveling freely and seeing loved ones. We are all tired and worn down by this year and fighting with each other. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. We can have gatherings in our personal time and go see family and not risk leaving a wake of illness behind us. Wearing a mask around others in public and washing our hands for at least 20 seconds is a third option. It's the way that we can have both health and togetherness. Wrangell as a whole, the city and borough, search, and WCA have individual community members have been given very large amounts of relief money. As a community, others have taken care of us, and it is our responsibility to take care of ourselves. Respectfully, Valerie Massey.
Ms. Massey, thank you very much. Kim?
The next person I have is Jean and Rodney Brown.
Jean and Rod, are you on there?
They're on here. I sent something for you to unmute.
Yep, thank you, Kim.
There you go.
I'm reading this for Rod because he's visually impaired, but he wrote the letter. So to Wrangell Assembly members, excuse me, Mayor Prusanka and citizens of Wrangell, observations and ideas, excuse me, become facts when they can be verified by controlled experiments. For example, in 1796, Edward Jenner observed that milkmaids living in England who had previously caught cowpox, a mild illness, did not catch smallpox, a serious illness. He tested his observation by purposely infecting volunteers with cowpox and determined that this made them immune to smallpox. In other words, he developed the first vaccine which protected people from catching a serious disease caused by a virus. COVID-19 is just as real as smallpox and cowpox. However, we do not currently have a vaccine that will prevent COVID-19 infections. The United States currently has a fairly low infection rate, 2.8%. We've made some progress in treating the disease. For a variety of reasons, the death rate for patients hospitalized with COVID-19 infections has dropped from 25.6% to about 7.6%. Even so, we have, in absolute terms, a very large number of infections and deaths in the United States, about 2.9 million documented cases and about 230,000 deaths. Cases and deaths, both in the US and worldwide, are spiking at an alarming rate. One reason for these high numbers has been the reluctance of people to follow simple safety precautions, which help slow the spread of COVID-19. These precautions include wearing masks in public places, social distancing, and frequent hand washing. Multiple recent studies have demonstrated that following these basic precautions can reduce the spread of COVID-19 by as much as 50%. If we want to keep people working and avoid another lockdown, we each need to do all we can to slow the spread of COVID-19. For me, taking these basic safety precautions to help slow the spread of COVID-19 isn't a limitation of my freedom or a political statement. It is a simple matter of showing my concern for the welfare and safety of my family, friends, neighbors, and others living in Wrangell. After living in Wrangell for 50 years, one of the things that Gene and I value most is the way that the community, despite their disagreements, comes together to support each other in times of crisis. Sincerely, Rod Brown.
Thank you very much, Gene. Thank you, Rod. Kim?
Jim Leslie?
Mr. Leslie, are you on?
I am. Greetings, Mayor, Assembly members, EOC, and members of the public. I would like to voice my support for a mask mandate. It's a proven scientific fact that wearing masks, hand washing, and social distancing reduces the risk of COVID virus transmission. Why would we not use every tool in our arsenal to protect one another? At this time, there are no known cases of the virus in Wrangell, and this was written before we got the case yesterday, of course. I can understand that this causes people to become complacent about the virus risk. Unfortunately, it only takes one asymptomatic person to arrive in town, contact their family and other members of the community before they are aware that they are shedding the virus, to take us from a safe place to a crisis of medical care capacity. We are a small, isolated community. The science tells us that we are at risk of a rapidly spreading pandemic with just a few days of undiagnosed COVID-infected people circulating throughout the community. I do not understand the aversion to wearing a mask that is so prevalent in this country and specifically our community. It's not that hard. Masks are widely available and may be the key to preventing a breakout in our community. Are there people who cannot wear a mask for health reasons? No doubt. But if most of the community can adapt to wearing masks for the benefit of our community at large, it would provide protection for most of our population. Having lived in Southeast Asia and Japan, I can attest to the fact that people have been wearing masks for a long time, decades, in order to protect their communities from the spread of infection. Even little kids wear them. Why it is so difficult for Americans is a mystery to me. It is clear that there is a dangerous increase of COVID cases and hospitalizations in Alaska and nationwide. Many hospitals are overwhelmed and out of capacity. If for no other reason, we should wear masks to protect our healthcare workers. They are our family, relatives, and neighbors. Let's not put them at unnecessary risk by cooperatively deciding as a community to wear masks. Prevention is a far better strategy than reaction. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Leslie. Kim?
Hagen Bonney Demersian.
Hagen Bonney, are you on? I think you're muted, Hague. There you go.
Can you hear me now?
We got you. Thank you.
Okay, good evening, folks. I just want to share a letter I wrote last week, and this was before the case we have, the new case we had this week. So Bonnie and I are writing in support of a mask mandate for Wrangell. We in Wrangell are very fortunate to not have had any known COVID cases for the last few weeks. This is in part due to our relative isolation. Other parts of Alaska and most states in the lower 48 are seeing huge spikes in COVID cases, with the scientific community predicting worse to come if we do not adhere to two simple things, mask wearing and social distancing. These two actions affect the quality of our economy, of the ability to get back to full in-person schooling, and the general well-being that normal activities engender for us. In Kansas, a University of Kansas study, this came out last week, I think, compares mask-mandated counties to non-mask-mandated counties within the state and found a 50% reduction in COVID spread in the mask-mandated counties since the inception of the mandate. That kind of community prediction seems wise to me. Wearing a mask and social distancing protects us all. Why would we not want to do that? We have heard folks say it is infringing on our right to do as we please. However, we live in a society with other people and have to live with laws that are designed to protect the common good. In order to protect the common good, our personal freedoms sometimes have to be curtailed when they have definite adverse effects on the well-being of others. In Wrangell, we have always looked out for others, and that has made us a great place to live. Let us continue that tradition with the simple wearing of a mask. To me, it's a no-brainer. Haig and Bonnie Demersion.
Thanks very much, Haig. Thanks, Bonnie. Kim, next
yes,
on your
Walter
list.
Yes, Walter Moorhead.
Mr. Moorhead, good evening.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity to speak. To Wrangell Assembly and all concerned citizens. Notable on tonight's agenda is the topic of action to address the recent increase in COVID-19 cases. Numbers are surging across the country, and Alaska is no exception. Huge amounts of data is available for those who wish to look at it. Specifically, we're talking now about having people wear masks in public settings. Who is suggesting that we do this and why? Well, at the national level, many health policy leaders say that wearing a mask and social distancing can reduce the spread of COVID. These are epidemiologists like Dr. Fauci at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Also, we hear this from organizations like the Center for Disease Control and the World Health Organization. In Alaska, Dr. Ann Zink is the chief medical officer for the state, and she says wearing a mask is an important tool in stopping coronavirus spread. Locally in Wrangell, we are now hearing the same recommendation from our Emergency Operations Center. Who are all these people, and why should we listen to them? Epidemiologists spend years studying disease transmission, reviewing data from public health records and clinical trials, seeing what actually happens in the population, and trying to make some sense of it. Their careers are based on being good at anticipating what will happen and making valid, defensible recommendations. Our local EOC is made up of the people who count the hospital beds, the gloves and the gowns on hand, the ventilators, and the budget for providing care. They're also the people who come to the emergency room at all hours, who drive the ambulance, and who treat those in need. All of these people from national to local level spend many hours looking at the best information that they can get on how we're dealing with this pandemic. And they put forward their best ideas for what to do next. Many of them are also those who will be at the center of whatever happens in the weeks and months to come. Many of them will wear not just masks, but gowns, gloves, and face shields, and they will be responsible for managing events as they happen. They will get tested frequently to see if they have become infected themselves. They will be on scene at the success and failures ahead. And they ask us to do what? Wear a mask, keep our distance, keep our business and schools open by keeping our disease counts low. That's it. We all look forward to being past this pandemic. We can all be a part of the solution by taking precautions to not be a part of the problem. As our local leaders, it now falls to you to consider the best course forward. Available to you are the recommendations of those who have spent a lot of time and effort on the subject. The weeks ahead will certainly show the results of what we are doing now. Thank you for your service and careful consideration of what is best for this community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moorhead. Kim?
Yes, Jake Hale.
Mr. Hale, are you on the line?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we've got you. Please go ahead.
All right. I'm the general manager of City Market Incorporated here in Wrangell. But before I came to Wrangell, I worked with rural stores throughout the state, helping them put risk registries, train their employees, management staff, and I am also part of a brainstorm group, which has members from St. Lawrence Island, Texas, rural New York, and I think our farthest east is Booth Bay, Maine. And we're all dealing with the same concerns. There is an extremely high rate of sinfulness infection among grocery stores in the United States. Grocery workers have a 5 times likelihood of being infected by COVID. I believe only health workers are higher. And on top of that, Wrangell has the second oldest community in Alaska. Haines is the only one that's population is older. Mass, when I did our risk registry for CMI, it came clear that we needed to have a mask requirement for our employees. We have 700 to 900 people come into our store every day. And the masks don't necessarily, while they add some protection to our employees, it's more important to protect the customers. If one of our employees gets infected, it will help lower the risk of them spreading it to our customers and other employees. And so if we had a requirement that the customers had to wear masks along with us, it would lower the risk for our employees by 65%, according to WebMD and the CDC. We only have 2 grocery stores in town. I want you guys to think for a moment, what would happen if both your stores had cases? Not only would all the employees have to get tested and go into quarantine, all the customers that came into the stores would have to get tested. You'd be looking at probably 50% of the population. It would be a disaster. And this mandate would help reduce that risk. We can't force the customers to wear masks, but we can enforce a mandate from the borough for them to wear masks. And we would be like the no shirt, no shoes, no service. We'd add no mask, no service. We provide free deliveries of goods to all the way out to 14 mile. So if they have some reason not to be able to wear a mask, send us your order, we'll pick it, we'll bring it to you free of charge. It's just the we have a great risk of disaster if the grocery stores in Wrangell have infection, because if we do, it takes 3 or 4 days to get a COVID test. We'd be shut down while we're waiting for those results. And where were people going to get their groceries if we're all in quarantine? The mandate, some of the stores that are in the brainstorm, they have mandated, and It's about 1 in 5 customers they end up having a long debate with on why they should have to wear a mask. And this mandate would really simplify that argument. It's mandated by the city that you need to wear a mask. I know there is a lot of misinformation out there. If you guys go to the CDC site or WebMD, you'll find all the debunked myths on wearing masks. Masks do not lower your oxygen intake. There's been plenty of scientific tests on that. While masks don't give you as much protection yourself for wearing it, but you will protect others. And when we have so many seniors in this town, to be able to keep safe is worth it. So I think requiring businesses to require masks for everyone in the store, employee and customers, is very reasonable. And there are steps to bring services to the people that can't medically wear masks. And if we can bring them their groceries and goods for them. If we get overwhelmed with delivery orders, we have church groups that have already volunteered to help us do deliveries. So as a community, we would make it happen. The people would not go wanting for milk, eggs, and bread because they couldn't wear a mask. They would be able to get their goods, and our employees would remain safe, and our other customers would remain safe as we can. Nothing's 100%. But I think we're one asymptomatic case from disaster. And I think every community in Alaska is. Because there's some people that have no symptoms and it can be as contagious as can be. And you can't see them. And they may feel like they don't want to wear a mask. And next thing you know, you have half the community sick and people, seniors dying.
Mr. Hale, yeah. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to conclude your comments.
Well, I was actually going to say I just finished.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Mr. Hale. Kim?
Yes, I'm Danica Smalley.
Danica, are you on? Ms. Smalley, are you on? Okay, Kim, will you just make a note that we couldn't get Ms. Smalley on, but we'll come back to her at the end.
Yes.
We move on to the next person on the list, please.
The next person is Zach Taylor.
Mr. Taylor, good evening.
Evening, can you hear me?
We got you, sir.
Hey, good evening, Assembly, Mr. Mayor, and everyone tuning into this meeting online. In regard to this proposed mask mandate, I urge the Assembly to follow the guidance of the leading doctors and scientists in the state and the nation, whatever that may be. They say to lock down and wear masks, so be it. If they say to throw away our mask and dance in the streets, so be it, so long as science and medicine is a deciding factor. That being said, I want to be very, very clear. I want businesses to be open. I want our schools open. I want students to be in them. I want tourists and travelers to come to town. I want our hotels and restaurants full. I personally had to shut down my own business very early in this pandemic. And as a result, I had zero income all summer for my own tour business. So I get why people are afraid of business closing down. It happened to me. But as much as I want my business and life to return to normal, I do not want to put people's lives at risk for my benefit. The masks are at worst a minor inconvenience for the majority of the population. At best, they will slow the spread of this virus and protect our most at-risk citizens. And to the people that argue, I've heard it several times tonight, you have less than a 1% chance of dying from this virus. My only question to you is, are you willing to let that 1% be you, your parents, your grandparents, or others you know and care about in our small town, just because you didn't want to follow simple medical guidelines? If we all do our own part to the best of our ability, then the faster we're going to get back to normal. Mine pretty short in closing. I once again urge the Assembly to follow the directives from scientists and doctors in the situation and not prevailing public sentiment. We need to stop doing what we as individuals feel is right for our own benefit and start following good medicine and science for the benefit of everyone. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. Kim?
Yes, the next person is Don McConaughey.
Mr. McConaughey, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Great. Please go ahead.
I am one of the senior citizens that has overlying medical conditions and a substantial amount of them. I have heart disease, I have Crohn's disease, and I have a respiratory problem. I do not wear a mask because I can't wear a mask. I choke each and every time I put one on. And that's my life. If I were to die tomorrow, it would probably be because of one of my conditions that I had. Not necessarily COVID-19. I don't necessarily agree with a mask mandate, because I don't think that it really serves a purpose to mandate what you need to be doing throughout a COVID situation. I have been down in Seattle several times, actually three times, no, two times since COVID has broken out. And the Seattle area is a very, very depressing place to be. Everybody is looking at each other as if they are Attila the Hun or Charles Manson or whatever the case may be, and it's very bothersome. I just do not agree with a mandatory mask mandate, and I guess that's all I've really got to say about it. Thank you very much for the time to talk.
Thank you, Ms. McConaughey. Appreciate your comments. Kim.
Yes, I'm Sierra Rowland.
Ms. Rowland, are you on the line?
Yes, can you guys hear us all right?
Yeah, we've got you just fine. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Wonderful. This is Thomas and Sierra Rowland speaking on behalf of Twisted Room Market, the stepchild market in Wrangell. I want to start out by echoing City Manager Von Bargen. We feel this proposed mandate is a necessary minor inconvenience, which gives Wrangell the best opportunity to maintain our social and economic freedoms in the long term. As one of several small businesses forced to shut down and adjust our business model early in the pandemic, we can clearly say that COVID-19 has had a significant detrimental impact on our bottom line and on the bottom line of many Wrangell businesses. Should Wrangell experience another COVID-19 outbreak resulting in economic restrictions, our business and many others in town would be forced once again into an untenable situation and frankly put in jeopardy of failing altogether. A mask is not a political statement. It is a widely accepted science, and it is the simplest and least disruptive way to protect our community, our local businesses, and our larger freedoms. Twisted Root Market supports, in no uncertain terms, enacting this mask mandate for the safety and health of our employees, customers, community, and our economy. We ask the Assembly and Wrangell's leadership to support the proposed mandate, and thank you all for your consideration and time.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you guys coming on tonight. Kim.
Yes, Dr. Prasanka.
Dr. Prasanka, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we've got you just fine. Please go ahead.
Dear Mayor Prasanka and members of the Wrangell Borough Assembly, I'm a family physician in Wrangell and currently the medical director for Wrangell Medical Center and the Wrangell EMS. I've been working as a doctor in this town for over 20 years, and I have raised my family here. I am a committed community member, and I'm committed to the health care of all the members of this community. I cannot recall writing a letter to the Borough Assembly previously, but I'm writing now as I am concerned the COVID-19 pandemic has the potential to greatly harm our community. We have an opportunity to prevent this if we each take the action to reduce the spread of this virus now. COVID-19 is highly contagious and travels through the air we breathe. Not everyone who gets this disease gets ill. However, more people get this than get the flu. It is much more contagious than the flu, and it's also about 10 times more deadly than the flu. American doctors' experience with thousands of patients has shown that a certain people are at risk for poor outcomes. Those risks include obesity, those over the age of 64, those with heart and lung disease, as well as those with diabetes. As a doctor in this community, I know that many of us have these conditions. Ourselves, our family members, friends, neighbors, and workmates. It's true we don't currently have an outbreak in Wrangell, but we don't exist in a bubble. There are now a surge of cases in Alaska that has the potential to compromise the state medical infrastructure, and we in Wrangell are dependent on a functioning medical system in Alaska. Anything we can do to reduce the number of COVID patients we have in our town helps maintain the quality of care we provide for all our patients. We cannot control Anchorage, but we have an opportunity to improve the situation in Wrangell. We have proven here that identify and isolate works. We have had two or three small clusters of cases over the past 8 months in town. The patients and their close contacts were fantastic in isolating. Each cluster remained small and the spread was limited. These people are my heroes. The current surge in Alaska is at least 10 times greater than it was at the time of our initial clusters. When it hits Wrangell, it may be harder to control, but at least we have more awareness of how it spreads. Our best chance to reduce the severity of COVID-19 spread in Wrangell is to follow the recommendations of the state, the CDC, and the federal government. Maintain a safe distance, at least 6 feet apart. Wash your hands well and often. Keep your gatherings small and wear a mask. Scientific studies published in the medical literature show that masks of all types reduce the spread of disease. This makes sense as it is an airborne illness. In order to work effectively, you have to wear a mask that covers both your mouth and nose. I know masks are uncomfortable and stuffy, but they really are our best defense against this dangerous airborne disease. I fully support all actions taken by local government, schools, businesses, churches, and other social groups to promote these simple actions and reduce the risks and spread of COVID-19 and keep us all safer. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. Appreciate it. Kim.
Yes, I'm Diane O'Brien.
So, Brian, are you on the line? Ms. O'Brien, are you on the line? I see Diane's here. If you phoned in, Diane, you might have to press star six.
It looks like she's on her computer.
Okay, we'll come back to her. The next person on your list, please, Kim.
Okay, sure. Don Sherman, please.
Mr. Sherman, are you on the line?
Thank you, Mayor Prusanka, and thank you to the council members and the EOC. I want to say that I am for a mask mandate. The public health debate on masks is settled. When you wear a mask, you protect yourself and you protect others. If the city council decides to mandate wearing a mask, I trust you are doing it for our common good, and you will do it according to the best practices of medical science. The spread of COVID-19 is based on two factors. Number one, how dense the population is. Number two, how dense the population is. Mask not what you can do for your country, but what, oh darn it, I goofed up on that, but thank you for your time, and I hope you guys do well with this. We're rooting for you. Thank you.
Thanks, Don. I think we got where you're heading there.
Yeah, darn it.
No problems. Kim?
Yes, Mike Lockaby. Or do we want to try Diane O'Brien again?
We'll rotate back through at the end.
Okay.
Yeah. Mr. Lockaby, are you on the line, sir?
Yep.
Mr. Lockaby.
Let me turn the radio down, Steve.
Yeah, thank you.
Hold on. Okay, yes, I'm here. We had the radio on here.
No problem.
Phone also waiting. So, Your Honor, City Council, I first of all, I concur 100% with Penny Allen, which is basically not yet. I've seen a lot of bad come to this town from COVID-19 in the last 6 months, not with health issues, because all of our people survived, which was fortunate, and very few people got very sick. Because Wrangellites are doing what it takes to keep it away now. I'm opposed to mandating further at this time. Wrangell's been doing a pretty good job. This town's lost a tremendous amount, and I realize that health is health and economy is economy. But $40 million is a lot of money. If you don't think that's gone, I'll happily supply you with the math that proves that that and more toward $50 million is gone from our community that will never come back. It's important. So I'm not in favor of a lockdown either. If we need a lockdown, if we need a mask mandate, I agree. I'm 67. I have a chronic respiratory problem. I have really hard of hearing. And that doesn't bother me either way. I live without fear, although many people in the past 6 months have tried to scare me. And I just live without fear. I've seen numbers put out that were so atrociously wrong, as it turned out, that they could have only been designed to scare. Don't care much for that. Don't hold with it. There's two sides to every story. Right now, if you wanted to listen to Fauci, which millions do, and I think is a spectacular epidemiologist, I can bring another doctor's words from the same news channel that don't agree with him on masks and how to react to it. So bring one side, bring the other. In the Spanish flu epidemic, bacterial pneumonia was the main killer, and they discovered, unfortunately, at the end, that it was actually accentuated by mask wearing. Doesn't mean it didn't stop the spread, but it accentuated the spread of bacterial pneumonia. So the science is the science. There's two sides. You can go on the web right now, and I'm sure you have, and I'm sure everybody else has that spoke, and see either side. Just Google whichever way you want to go. When we locked down this spring, it made little or no difference to what happened, at least apparently so, except it cost millions, and it still is. If a business wants to, if it chooses to have people wear a mask when they patronize their store, I'm fine with that. Their people meet everybody all day. I only meet their person once. And if they want to mandate that, I don't have a problem with that. They have that right. They're a private business. I feel that the state mandates are good. I feel that if it gets to a point of health, generally, where we need to have that in the state, I believe they'll do it. I won't believe they'll shuffle it off to the cities and say, do what you want. But actually, there's a lot more, but it's been said a lot already. To be absolutely clear, I'm opposed to a mandate at this time. I don't see a parameter for it. I don't see a number. I mean, there's certainly a threat, not here right now, but in other places. Where's our parameter? Do you just kick it in now? You just kick it in now and hope that it avoids anything? I think we've done a hell of a good job only having 21 cases in 6 months. And I don't think that's necessary to do right now. And I don't think the job we're doing is going to change. Wrangellites are pretty conscientious about what's going on, about knowing who their friends are and knowing where it is and wearing masks in tight public areas. You know, if people look at me and they think I'm some nut job conservative that doesn't wear a mask. Every time I walk into City Hall or any place that wants me to wear a mask, I wear a mask and they don't have a problem. I'm tired of being scared with this. I'm tired of having statistics put out that you can line up statistics on the other side. And I want the common sense factor to apply and give us a little credit. We're not sheep. You know, we're not all stupid as much as some people would think I am. And that's, I've impugned myself, so I don't think I've offended anybody. But I've read extensively on this, and I could make a good argument against most of the arguments that came forward. But the point is, not yet, because if it happens, then I'm going to be in support of that too. But not yet. It's not time. And I don't mean wait till we've got 26 seniors. Remember, I'm one of them, and I have two conditions. I don't mean wait till that, but where's the parameter? We have a decent team, I think, in the hospital and the EOC. Where's the parameter on the plan? I'd like to hear that. I'd like it to be discussed for sure. I can't comment on a number either way. I mean, if we want to put a plan in place that we never get to New York, that's ridiculous, because our case rate would have to be 500 cases to equal what New York City had at one time, not the fatality case. So I'm not saying go to there, but where's the parameter? We have one case in the last 7 weeks. Is that time? I do feel it's an imposition on my freedom. I do. I'm sorry. I've lived without fear my whole life. This is the only time I'll apologize for it. But I'm sorry I feel that. If it's necessary, I won't feel that way. But it's not necessary now. And it certainly isn't necessary to lock down. And if it is, I really want to see an explanation of essential service, because they're talking about it already, of essential service and non-essential service. Most of the business in this town would be essential to the people who fish or work outdoors. Most of them. Didn't work out that way the last time. I don't want to see that happen again. So be very careful with lockdown. Set a parameter on the mask. And if I feel it's acceptable, I'll support it. I do accept the private, all the businesses that have asked us to wear them. I do that. I don't have a problem with that. Anyway, I'm repeating myself, Steve. So you should be shutting me off right now. Anyway,
I'm going to let you go, Mike. You can go as long as you want.
No, you don't want to do that, Steve. You don't want to say that to me.
All right.
Okay, we'll be in the sea honors if you let me go.
No, we're not going there. Thanks, Mr. Lockaby.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Kim, are we?
Yes, David Anderson.
Mr. Anderson, are you on the line, sir?
Yes, I am.